Wiki, welcome to the Potty Slam.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A
wiki,
wrestling.
Wow. Well, Wes. That's what that.
What's up?
Hey, I'm on this show. My name's Ryan.
Oh, boy.
What's up?
There we go. This is a wrestling historical podcast, though, where we talk about the locker room and beyond. And I believe Josh has a story that includes both.
Wrestling. Yeah, I do.
But first, well wishes to Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's... I want to say that that's the reason why I'm doing this topic. Currently, as of recording this, Ric Flair is in the hospital. I don't know if he's still in the medical coma that was said that he was in, but he has been experiencing lots of issues, and so as a lifelong fan of both professional wrestling and a fan of Ric Flair, I felt I had to do this. So we do wish our sympathy to the family, and dude, get out of this.
Yeah, he'll kick out at 2.5, so because I don't want to have to do a 10 woo salute
and a very sobering woo to you.
Hi, April.
Hi.
Yes,
I'm here.
Josh is here. Ryan has joined us again.
Mm-hmm. So,
teach me about wrestling.
The story I would like to talk to you guys about is through the perspective of another lifelong fan of Ric Flair, and that is whom I also consider one of the greatest of all time, Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
The singer
for Rat? Or...
Poison.
Yeah. No, every Rick has its thorns was his big hit.
Lord. Good God.
Oh, that was you?
That escaped my lips.
That was a full blown prison breakout right there.
That's for the soundboard.
we call it, every burp we have to have come up with a quick name for it. That's a prison break burp. Prison break burp.
So as I said, Shawn Michaels has been a huge fan of Ric Flair his entire life. Quote, I was 16 years old when I sat in front of the TV and I saw the Nature Boy Ric Flair for the first time. I said to myself, gosh, I want to be just like him. He embodies everything I want to be. Everything I picture the wrestling life to be, he is it. So... He, years later, Rick was in the WWF for a short time, and that was first time that Shawn Michaels was introduced to him.
91? I think 91 or 92,
sounds somewhere about in there. Right. Yeah, early 90s. At the time, though, Shawn Michaels wasn't really much. Early on, obviously, he was just a tag team guy.
Really good tag team, though.
Now, his name's Shawn Michaels, but did he have, like, any... Like, a call sign or something?
The Heartbreak Kid.
Cool.
He went by Shawn Michaels, HBK, so...
Did he break a lot of hearts?
Oh, yeah. 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 He had the mullet of mullets.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Gush. Gush.
That was a water balloon just fell on the floor.
Now, I see.
He did go to Rick at this point in time and just expressed to him the impact that he had on his life. And I'm sure that was something that Flair has heard many, many times in the long, lucrative career that he's had. It's insane the reach that he has had with both fans and professional wrestlers alike.
And groupies.
No, I have a question for you guys. You guys might know this because you love wrestling and all that. Is Ric Flair a really nice guy outside of wrestling?
He embodies the in-ring persona that he gives.
But I mean, like, if say you guys are fans and you saw him on the street,
and you were like, oh my God, it's him, it's him.
I've not heard of any negative interactions.
Usually you hear about it.
Yeah,
I know The Rock is amazing, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I know John Cena is amazing. I know all the big guys are I know Macho Man was super cool with his fans. Mm-hmm. We get super animated with his fans, which is what you want, and also super cool.
Right. Sean recalls that he did have a singles match against him in that early time frame, and how he just was extremely giddy.
Yeah,
the entire time.
I can imagine. Starstruck and.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a lot like nowadays. You have guys like Cesaro that are doing matches with the Hardys, and just imagine they were watching the Hardys when they were younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he made sure his mullet tendrils were sharpened and his jock strap was on fully polished.
Yes.
Buffed it out.
He's ready to break some hearts.
Turtle waxed.
I guess the match itself was not very long.
Probably at that point. It jobbed him right out to Ric Flair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said it was about an 8-minute match, but for him, that was a huge thing, which, duh.
Right.
To wrestle Ric Flair. He remembers distinctively after the match calling a childhood friend, and they were just basically being schoolgirls about it. Fast forward. 20 years later, now Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels are extremely close. And they knew that Ric's career needed to end.
Yeah.
He's 58, 59.
At the time of this wrestling match?
Or? Yes.
He was 59 at the match.
Okay.
WrestleMania.
When he was 41 or 42, management in WCW, where he wrestled before WWE, we're telling him it's time to hang it up, and they actually took the belt off him and tried to give him a new gimmick to get him to retire altogether. Then he went on, wrestled for another 17-18 years.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. Well, the match at WrestleMania, he's 59, and after the match he did sign on with
TNA
with Shawn Michaels' blessing only.
Really?
Wow.
I did not know that.
He also had a match with Hogan that he called. Shawn Michaels wanted his blessing before he could do it.
You're okay. You're Ric Flair, but
that's mad respect.
Oh, because the Shawn Michaels match was supposed to be the final match.
Exactly.
I get it.
So what happened, I guess, was they knew that they needed to end the match. And so the way they set it up was in kayfabe, Vince McMahon had told the universe the next match that I know,
they
lose,
have the dumbest terms.
No,
it's universe.
Well, that's
know this now.
That's Vince McMahon.
Hey, what's bigger than a world? An entire universe.
Now just, everything's got to be so big and over the top that it's actually just.
Yeah, they call the fans the WWE universe.
You're the universe.
Which means, I mean, is he calling me fat?
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
I do have my own gravitational pull.
Right.
I'm kinda, pulls in beer and nachos.
I'm kind of mocking it, but at the same time, I love it. That's the way it should be.
Right.
You should be big and grandiose always.
Right. Yes. Now, imagine being that young fan that had that first match and you just idolized this guy growing up.
I was thinking, imagine you're bringing your child to this match, and like, here's Ric Flair, the guy you grew up idolizing, and your kid is watching probably Shawn Michaels, who he may or may not. Let's go in for this sake.
There's generations,
right. Worshiping HBK.
Yeah, it's incredible to think that. I actually had April watch the match tonight, and I'm like, you know, you have two guys here that are absolute legends.
It's like Will Ferrell fighting Steve Martin.
yeah,
pretty much.
It's debatable. Some people call each of those guys the greatest of all time, which, I mean, it's a dumb thing to talk about because everyone's good in their own way, but that's besides the fact. These are two guys that are legends that people grew up and worshipped and
wish you could have seen the match maybe 20 years earlier.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Has any of these matches ever ended where they're like, final move? Like, it's 50-50. They've been beating the tar out of each other. And then the one guy walks up and he's like,
Mm-mm. And then they smooch.
No.
Gets down, gives him a hummer.
Well, it doesn't have to do that. Just a quick little. I love you.
Well,
I'm just saying. On. If well, I was,
let's
if
not
I was,
get too far ahead of the story.
Oh shit, that's yeah. right.
That, there is more to this.
Yeah,
yeah.
So as I was saying, Vince declared to the WWE universe that the next match that Flair loses is that's it.
Oh, I remember that buildup. Because yes. you kept expecting him to lose, and he'd somehow pull it out every time.
Exactly.
It was so much fun.
So what happened was Rick went on Monday Night Raw, and he declared that he wanted to have a match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Mr. WrestleMania. Because outside of the ring, he handpicked Shawn Michaels. He felt that he was the most worthy man to end his long career, mm-hmm. which just think of, that's a mind fuck.
Yeah. Just, you grew up idolizing the guy.
Yeah.
And now you're the one that's been handpicked to, I mean, essentially you're going to go over.
And think about all the guys that were there. All these other guys that could have been the one to do it.
We also need someone who could make a 59-year-old man look good in the ring.
That's also very true. But, I mean, at that WrestleMania, you had The Undertaker. You had...
See, that wouldn't have been a good match.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm drinking no, Undertaker's only because beer.
The Undertaker is not going to bounce around for Ric Flair, and Ric Flair can't bounce around at that age.
But Taker, I feel, he can make guys look good. Especially, you got to remember that this is WrestleMania 24. So this is 2009.
Remember that last match that Undertaker did with Rowdy Ralph?
Well, yeah, you gotta add a lot.
Oh, Rowdy Ralph!
You gotta add 9 years.
He's rowdy
to Taker. I mean, he was pretty rough at this last Mania, but at that particular Mania, he did fight Edge, and the match was good.
Well, because Edge can bounce around for the Undertaker.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I feel like
but, I'm not saying it wouldn't have been a good match, but it wouldn't have been a great match.
Right. Now, I mean, this match is considered one of the greatest of all time.
Really?
Because
they have them ranked?
Nah, it's.
I mean, like,
it's pretty objective. But I mean, there's certain guys that have cred as far as reviews go.
So you two. Mm-hmm. I've been watching wrestling for a serious long time. Do you guys have a favorite match, or is that an episode in the future that I should not insinuate?
No, I think that's boy, right off the top of my mind.
Like, yeah, off the top of your head, favorite match?
The one that pops in my head immediately is, you could pick, gosh, it's hard to say because Shawn Michaels and Undertaker put on like
I know
two mine. Amazing matches, like 2 years in a row.
I already know mine.
What's yours?
Mine is easily Hell in a Cell, Mankind, and Undertaker.
Mm.
That is
a really good one.
It's a brutal one to watch.
It's very brutal to watch, but to see, and it's not so much Undertaker, it's Mankind, whom I'm not going to say I'm the biggest fan in the world of Mankind, but
he takes a beating, I bet. Is he the one?
Oh, yeah. God.
He falls through the, well, to start the match, he gets thrown off the top of the cage, which is, what, 30 feet?
25, 30 feet.
Through a table. The only thing breaking his fall is a table.
And then he hits the surrounding wall. And back then they had metal. They didn't have the padded walls.
Mm. They had the steel rails.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So right there, right off the bat, he starts the match like that. And like he's trying to gather himself for quite a while. Climbs back up on the cage. Gets supposed to just get slammed onto the cage and that's it. Well, the strap of I don't know what they used to keep the cage together, mm-hmm. broke. He falls through all the way to the mat, hits, there's a chair up on the top that falls through too, hits him in the mouth. You watch the match, he's sitting there, he looks like he's smiling. His tooth went up through his...
Oh, my God!
It came out, and there's literally a tooth. You can see a tooth hanging out of his nose.
If you're in the nosebleeds, you would have been like, he's got a booger!
Yeah. But one of his teeth got driven through his lip out and came out of his nose.
And he still kept going.
He was out for quite a while.
Yeah.
But then got up and continued the match.
Yep. Wow. And then, later in the match, he busts out...
They all had sex. Sorry, that would have been a great ending.
Just, no, he Mankind busts out a
such
huge,
a riot answer too.
Right, I know.
Right, he actually gets out a huge bag I of would, tacks and
oh,
throws them on the ground.
Forgot about the tacks because that's the least.
Oh, mother yeah. mercy!
Yeah, he's thrown on the tacks. I forgot think a about couple times.
Yeah.
Tons and tons. He stands up and you just see the silver all throughout
shining.
His body.
Yep. A couple of them fall off. You see the blood running down.
Yep.
I want to see a Ryan Federation where he books the whole thing.
Oh God, that would be
rated
amazing.
X though.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, I mean it would be kind of like a Pornhub meets WWF, but yeah. it would also have like dudes who play guitars like in like Mad Max Fury Road with like flames shooting out of
yeah.
them on the corner.
What about a Game of Thrones themed?
I don't think I could do it. I'd love it too much. I'd mess it up.
Hey, he's basically describing what WCW was like.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh,
what man. About you though? Favorite match? Do you
I love that second Undertaker Shawn Michaels Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I'm Satan, I'm in the cell. It's hell here.
And in this corner, the Son of God, Jesus. Who did wrestle
blessed,
Shawn Michaels?
Blessed are thee who walk with me. Yes, yes.
You know, I haven't been watching for as long as you guys have, but in like recent memory for me, mm-hmm. I would have to say it was a couple years ago when John Cena and Bray Wyatt had a last man standing match.
Oh, yeah,
do you really, remember that one where he puts him, because that was a long match too, and that was really, really good. And at the very end, what is it? They flip over a speaker and John Cena like AAs him into the speaker, speaker and
sparks
then
fly.
Yeah, and sparks fly, and then they cover him up with another speaker. Yeah. I don't know. That was a good one. That was when I first started watching, and I remember that one being like particularly memorable.
There was a recent one, I mean, within the last, say, 5 years that I really enjoyed, which was John Cena versus CM Punk on a Monday Night Raw. They actually busted out a pile driver.
Oh. Nice.
It was a really good match.
Oh,
I'd be all here all day telling her favorite match.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. That's why I said
no, it's a great question. That's
Well, yeah, it's because of the fact that this is considered one of the greatest by a lot of expert critics.
I get a platinum in wrestling matches.
I get a platinum in criticizing things.
Right. So, anyways, I'm gonna tell the recount of Shawn Michaels how he felt going into this.
Oh yeah.
This time going into WrestleMania 24, I was visibly shaken. There are so many people that believed he ought to be honored and set apart, and for me to be the guy that needed to get that done on the way, one hand, it was wonderful. But on the other hand, I went, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have been calling myself the Showstopper and Mr. WrestleMania all these years. I've really worked myself into a shoot this time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, can I honor him? Can I do what I really believe he deserves? Can I make this great moment happen for him? There was a strange emotional thing going on for me that I tried to detach myself from as best as I could, but it was still there. Ric Flair had always been a part of this business for as long as I can remember. Of all the interests that I've ever had in this line of work, he's been involved in some aspect of it. And the idea of him not being in there, I felt like the old couple that when one of them goes, the other one loses their will to live a little bit. I really had to wonder, as goofy as it sounds, how much more I'd want to go on when he's gone. Oof. So it was about 4 or 5 days before the match. I was lying in bed thinking, not able to sleep.
Jeez.
Then all of a sudden, the whole thing just came to me. I got out of bed. It was like 2 a.m, and I just started writing. I could feel this match. Everything was just sort of flowing. I was sitting in my kitchen writing all this down, and this overwhelming emotional urge came over me, and I just thought, this is how I feel. About 2 days before the match, I sort of presented it to Rick and Michael Hayes, who's the head writer, and I said, I've been thinking about this for a couple days now. I just really, like, I gotta complete something here. I went through it all and told them the end. Rick just looked at me, his eyes watering, and he patted me on the leg and said, thank you.
Wow. In all fairness, Ric Flair cries at everything.
It's true.
Never mind.
Yeah,
he's a bitch boy.
Sorry. Rest.
The whole match was one of those.
Tell me, God, you better pray he doesn't die before the show comes out.
I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. Potty Slam fans, I love you. Anybody like
beer?
Beer or an Amazon gift card? Maybe we can make that happen.
I'm offended. I need an Amazon gift card. The whole match was one of those, quote, real moments. And having just watched it a half hour ago, absolutely.
Anytime you can blur that line. Oof.
Yeah.
Well, I walked in and Josh, April, and Luna were all sitting in front of the TV crying. So I'm like, I guess that was a good wrestling match.
The emotion was there weeks before. It was there days before and there all day. It was there during the match. It was there after the match. That was a real life emotional moment for all involved. And you can see that throughout the entire match. When they walk down to the ring with their entrances, you can see it on their faces.
Mm-hmm. Goose pimples.
Oh, dude. I haven't got to the worst part.
The best part.
Well, it's the best, but it's... Oh, so many people ask me whether his return from retirement bothered me. I always say, absolutely not. He did call me, though. He called me to ask my blessing to do the Hogan match in Australia. He wanted to know if it was okay, and I, of course, told him that it was. Then he called me again when he was going to sign with TNA and asked me the same thing. There's nothing you can say. I certainly don't have what it takes to look at somebody and say, don't go make a living. I told him that for me, nothing can take it away. That special moment. It will always be to me that I had Ric Flair's last match.
I think if you ask most people, that's what they would assume it was.
Definitely. I consider it his last. Our match at WrestleMania 24, that moment was truly 100% real to me, and it was real to him. And that's never going to change. I went from a young boy, a 16-year-old who admired him and was inspired by him, to a man who is honored to call him my friend. Coming from Flair himself, quote, I don't know what I thought at the time. I remember that it was WWE that decided to retire.
Desired.
Obviously, it was very emotional for myself, Sean, and my fans. It is not easy to do this for as long as I have, and then all of a sudden quit because the company you work for tells you to. I'm not bashing WWE, as I have great respect for the group. I believe that the whole setup was beautiful, and they did a great job with the Hall of Fame ceremony and the goodbye on Raw afterward. But I am not ready to sit at home and build a garden. I feel great, I work hard, and I'm ready to keep going. The only thing that truly will know the right time to stop is myself. Woo! Now, like I said, you can see the emotion on their faces throughout the match, but the defining moment that gives most fans goosebumps, as I have them right now,
me too,
is, damn,
I know.
It sucks, especially, God, dude, don't die.
I know, yeah.
The end of the match, you have Shawn Michaels delivers a beautiful Sweet Chin Music, and Flair drops in the middle of the ring, and then he goes, Shawn Michaels goes into the corner, starts stomping. That's the sign he's going to do a Sweet Chin Music. Flair gets up, and you could see full emotion, and he's just like, come on, come on. And then Shawn Michaels looks at him,
mouths,
I love you, I'm sorry.
Kicks him.
Flair drops, he pins him. 3 count, and immediately he hugs him, he kisses him on the cheek or on the forehead, and he doesn't do any celebrating. He just rolls out of the ring and leaves.
Let's Flair have his moment.
Yep.
It's oh damn, look at that.
I know. I've got him too.
I got an erection. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Part of me is not surprised, so sure.
I can't think of
sadness many. Makes me that's horny.
Called, that's called a Ryan goosebump.
Right. I hope it's bigger than my goosebumps.
It is.
I guess I haven't any.
I can't think of really any other, or not off the, not in this second, of any other match or moment I've seen in wrestling that it's like, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment, and it's also so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah right?
Because that's because a lot of times, and Ric Flair was guilty of this, they go on too long.
Yeah.
So you don't get those types of endings like when you should.
Right. And, you know, I think, too, this past year with The Undertaker's last match at WrestleMania, that's up there, too. Because I, like, boy, if I wasn't tearing up at that.
Yeah, that was rough.
You know, him just slowly taking off all of his, you know, Undertaker gear and
lays in the middle of the ring.
Right. Walks back up the ramp naked.
Yeah. Yep.
Ugh.
Wasn't naked.
In my mind, he was.
He didn't have his gloves on. He may as well be
exactly
naked.
Yeah. And the hat and the coat
and then he broke character and kissed his wife.
He did. Yep.
That was so McCool of him.
Oh God.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about that because I thought it was really neat that you had a fan that was able to come into the business and had a long career as well,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to have matches with his icon, mm. and to retire him and be very good friends with him after all these years. It's awesome.
It's a sweet story, mm-hmm. and it's I almost wonder if that should be made into a movie.
Oh, there will be a Ric Flair biopic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh God, just on his outside ring life would be.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Ryan would love that part of the movie.
It would be
Ryan
interesting.
Would love Ric Flair, yes. Just in general.
Lots of rides on Space Mountain.
You know, I
that was the name of his penis.
Well, yeah, Josh was just telling me.
I was gonna say to end this on a more positive, funny note, mm-hmm. because we don't know what's happening with Ric right now. But I read another story, a little short story about Ric, from Kevin Nash. They apparently were on a vacation. I can't remember exactly where. I think it was Costa Rica or something, or somewhere really nice. They were in a beautiful hotel, and he was like, "Yeah, Ric just kept walking around naked."
He liked to do that. What he did.
He would lay by the pool naked. Like,
helicopter, 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 helicopter. Well,
at one point. There was a party.
Black Hawk Down.
At this hotel.
Black Cock Down.
And Ric comes down in penny loafers.
Right.
And he sees some balloons.
It was nice of him to dress up.
And right. He grabbed said balloons and he disappeared. And all of a sudden, a little bit later, Ric appears again. And he's got his robe on.
Mm.
And flips the robe off, balloons come flying out, and they're attached to his wiener.
That's awesome.
So,
Aaron doesn't listen to this, but I've got her next birthday present.
Apparently, he did a little shuffle, did a little dance, and then
I would have fallen over clutching my gut laughing.
Oh, that's awesome.
He then strutted with elevated wiener,
mm-hmm.
and balloons. Strutted into the elevator and disappeared.
Yeah! That's the way to do it.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Gosh. Well,
that's the only story I know about him other than this one that we did for this episode, and I already love him. So,
yep.
Pull through.
He lived his gimmick. He talked about riding in limousines, taking
styling private, and profiling.
Private jets. The suits he bought, there was no... Like, he literally would go and buy these $10,000 suits. He went through his money.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only wrestlers that my brother ever talked about was Ric Flair, so I guess it makes sense, because he would always let out a big woo when we were practicing in Light
That's
City.
Awesome.
Yep.
That's no joke, and you know, my brother's not like a huge wrestling fan, but, I mean, it had an impact culturally, just like Macho Man, mm-hmm. just like Hogan.
The
just
good
like
ones do.
Cena, just well, like The Rock.
Right, and we went to Raw when they were in town last, and even, you know, it's funny, because we've been to a couple live events now, and it doesn't even matter that he's not there. No. People still woo.
Woo!
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's every couple minutes, there'll mm-hmm. be a big woo!
The chop... He mm-hmm. popularized the chop so much that when someone gets chopped, it's woo.
Yep.
Yep.
We could be here forever.
Yep.
That's a pretty long episode, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but that's okay because you guys deserve it. You pretty potty slam listeners.
So
we love you.
Prayers to Ric Flair.
Yeah. Hey, mm-hmm. everybody.
Let a little woo.
Just so you, yeah.
Just a quiet one.
Just quiet.
Ooh. Baby sleeping.
We'll see you we'll see you next week. Actually, we should do plugs. Actually, edit point.
Let's plugs. Do some plugs. Plug, plug.
What
plug.
Kind of plugs? Ear plugs?
Hair plugs.
Butt plugs?
Butt plugs.
Some peg plugs.
Unoiled butt plugs.
Okay. Ooh,
okay, ouch. So my name's Ryan. I'm a guest on this show. I'm on a show called Conspiracy Therapy. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Podomatic. Check us out.
Stiff Joystick Podcast, video game podcast. You can find that on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
The Potty Slam Podcast, a wrestling historic-y? Yes. A wrestling historical.
We're kind of historic-y.
We are historic-y. Wrestling historical podcast. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Podomatic.
EFISpodcast.net. Baseball History Podcast. And Beer City Media for all the podcasts. We'll see you next week. The Potty Slam.
Talk about, take those pictures down, check it out. Truth or consequence, say it aloud. Use that evidence, race it around. There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. There goes my hero. He's ordinary. Best of them, read it out. While the rest of them peter out. Truth or consequence, say it aloud. Use that evidence, race it around. There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. There goes my hero. He's ordinary.
In what way did it hurt? Your fingers?
No, my throat.
Your throat? Oh, it sounds so good. I got the chills during
that. Yeah, that was...
Thanks, guys.
This has been a presentation of Mirror City Media.